Bible reading number 240, Katamathion, 16 and verse number 1, the Gospel according to Matthew. It has been a pleasure reading these Bible readings with you. It has excited me. I hope you're as excited about it as I am. We're looking at some deep things in these messages. And we're in Matthew's 16th chapter. Verses number 1 through 4, Jesus is condemning the Jewish leaders heavily. Now, I don't know whether you've read Pontius Pilate's letter to his father-in-law, which was Caesar, explaining his interview with Jesus, and then what happened later on. He told his father-in-law that he had talked to Jesus, had asked for an interview with him, politely. He came in the palace and he talked about it. He said, the man is, he's more than a man. He said, if there's a Son of God, if there's God in the flesh, this is the guy right here. He said, I'm a brave man. He said, I'm a Roman and Spanish blood. And he said, I have no fear. But when he walked into the praetorium, he said, my feet were like fastened with iron clasps. He said, I could not move or could not speak until he spoke. And he described his way he looked, Jesus. He said he had blonde hair. He had blue eyes. He said he was did not look like the typical Jew at all. And he said he was honest in his character and just above humanity, just above it, so high in his demeanor. And he said, I asked him politely. He said, these people want to kill you. And he said, I'm going to do everything I can to protect you because you are nothing wrong with what you're doing. You are a prophet of God. You are more than a prophet. He said, you're one of the greatest sages that ever lived. And he said, I respect that and I have given you free run of all things. I could stop you, I could arrest you, but I don't want to. That's useless. You're doing something that you're greater than all of the Sadducees and the Pharisees and all of these leaders and the priests and whatever. And then he told him, he says, these people are trying to kill you. They're accusing me of lining up with you. And if you would, please, just back off just a little bit on these people, because he said what you say incites them to murder. He said, what you say is true. But he said, maybe you just not shouldn't say so much about it. And he said, I'll protect you. No harm will come to you. And Jesus told him, when my time comes, there's nothing that you can do to help me. He said, the prophecy must be fulfilled. And he said, I will go on saying what I'm saying. He said, but you understand that I'm not going to allow them to do this. He said, oh, Prince of this earth, he said, there's nothing you can do to stop this. Nothing. Now, having said that, let's get into the controversy now. Here is a controversy. And the Pharisees and Sadducees came up, and you have to realize something about the Pharisees. The Pharisees are Orthodox Jews today. That's what you see. The Sadducees are the atheist Jews. They're atheists. Now, they don't get along very well, but they get along well enough here to try to kill him and try to catch him in some malady of some sort. And the Pharisees and Sadducees, which are enemies, now they're, you know what enemies make strange bedfellows. Their enemy now made them bedfellows. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees came up testing him, asking him to show them a sign from heaven, a miracle from heaven. This word supernatural, something supernatural. He had already been doing this for all of his time that he's in his public ministry. He's doing this all over the place. They knew that he was, yet they want to do something to catch him in something that they can try to bring charges against him so they can kill him. They wanted to kill him. Just like Pontius Pilate said, they want to kill you. But he answered and said to them, "When it is evening, you say, 'It shall be a fair day, for the sky is red.' And in the morning, 'There will be a storm today, for the sky is red and threatening.' Do you know how to discern the appearance of the sky, but cannot discern the signs of the times? Don't you realize that I was born in Bethlehem at the right time from the right parents? Don't you realize that? Don't you realize that you consorted with Herod the Great to try to find me and kill me then? Don't you realize that I was carried off into Egypt and then that I was called back and I went into Bethlehem, or not Bethlehem, but Nazareth? I was born in Bethlehem, raised in Nazareth. Had the right lineage. Don't you realize that Herod being on the throne and his family being on the throne, they were put on the throne by Cleopatra, Antony and Cleopatra, and they weren't supposed to be on the throne? My father was supposed to be on the throne, my earthly father, stepfather, adopted father, whatever you want to call him. And in the morning, an evil and adulterous generation. Now, an evil, that word is poneria. That word is practiced evil. That word is evil that is so estranged from God that basically it has gone so far that it can't come back. Jesus called them sons of Satan because they were. His followers were sons of God. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were sons of Satan. They were born again of Satan. A.J. Kirkland wrote a little thing about that a long time ago on God's plan with man. I may read that book one of these days for you in another series if the Lord lets me live long enough. I've got a lot of series going on right now. An evil, poneria. Now, adulteress. Adulteress there. This evil here is means that they weren't children of God. They weren't related to God. The word ungodly means as actively not related to God. And they were actively not related to God. They're trying to kill the Son of God. They're trying to kill the King of Israel, the rightful heir to the throne. And now he calls them adulterous generation. Now, adultery, physically, we know what adultery is. But we're talking about spiritual adultery now. The Bible holds spiritual adultery as a higher sin than physical adultery in the Bible. This generation were not serving God. God said, "I'm a jealous God. I'm a jealous God." And when people, and he said, "I don't want you bowing down to any idols. I don't want you naming their name among you." And yet, when these people were carried off into Babylon, they got sick of idols over there. But they invented some new idols. New idols. And if you go to the Wailing Wall, and I know, Sharon, you've been to the Wailing Wall, you go there and you see a lot of Jewish people standing out there and they're rocking like this and putting their head on the Wailing Wall and they're reading scriptures. And when they come out and they bring the scriptures out, they will bring these scriptures out and they will kiss them before they open them. The Bible says, "Kiss the Son lest he be angry," not the scriptures. The scriptures are very important. But the Jews weren't really studying the Scriptures. They were studying the commentary on the Scriptures, the Mishnah and the Talmud. And they had made a religion out of that. They would sit down and they would do their jobs, but they'd get together and they would be rabbis. And these rabbis would sit there and argue about what so-and-so said. This scripture, they'd pick out one scripture and they'd argue about, and all the comments on that from the Babylonian Talmud and the Mishnah and even the Kabbalah later, they would argue about what this authority said, this rabbi, this great rabbi said. Instead of saying, this is what God said. Jesus had already condemned the Mishnah and the Talmud because He said, you don't follow the tradition of the fathers. He said, you put the tradition of the fathers above the scriptures. An evil and adulterous generation seeks a miracle. And a sign will not be given it except the sign of Jonah. Now let's talk about Jonah for a moment. Go back at the time of Jonah. Jonah was a prophet of God. He lived in the Galilee region. God called him to go to Nineveh. Nineveh was the enemy of Israel. Now I'm going to bring up this globe here for a moment. Here is a globe. And get over here where they are. They're over here in this area right here in the Mediterranean. Right in this little old bitty pocket right here is Syria and Palestine. And he's over here in Galilee. Now, God told him to go to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh is that way, up from there. Well, Jonah didn't want to align and protect the enemy of Israel. So he went the opposite, basically, almost exactly the opposite direction. He's going to Spain. Spain is this direction over here. Way over there. Spain is over here. And Nineveh's up here. So he catches the boat and goes to Spain. That's Tarshish. And out in the middle of the boat, out in the middle of the ocean in that boat, there's a great storm. And remember now, when there was a great storm in those days, there was a lot of superstition involved. Not the superstition that the superstition was correct. It was just they believed that. Now, all of these people that were on the boat were pagans. Pagans. And Jonah was there, and he was laying down in the boat, and the boat was about to sink and everything, and they came and woke him up. They had a meeting there, and they said, somebody on this ship has done something really bad. And the evil Leviathan is stirring up the deep, this great Leviathan is stirring up the deep, and all these storms are here, and we have to find out who's done what. So they came to Jonah. Jonah is, by the way, the same thing as John. That's John in the Old Testament, by the way. So Jonah, they confront him and they said, what have you done? Are you a bank robber? Are you a murderer? Did you kill your mother? What have you done? What terrible sin have you committed? What is your occupation? What do you do? Are you a bank robber? Are you an assassin? What are you? And he told him he's the prophet of God, of the Most High God, of the God that created the heavens and the earth. He's a prophet of that God, and he's going the opposite direction. And he said, it's my fault that we're sinking here, so what you do is throw me in the ocean. And they said, now you're a prophet of God, and you want us to throw you in the open ocean, and your God will get mad at us, and he'll kill us all. And he said, you got to do it. And so they threw him in the ocean. And the storm went away. Wow. And while he was in the ocean, he went down in the ocean and drowned, and he's dead. And this great Leviathan of some sort swallowed Jonah. And Jonah was dead. D-E-A-D. Dead. He wasn't alive. But from his body, from the belly of the Leviathan, his spirit was in Sheol, the place of departed spirits. And he cries out to God, and he tells him, I will do what you wish me to do if you send me back. So So now we have a real problem. Jonah is way out here in the Mediterranean going towards Spain, right there, and over here. And he's supposed to be up here, all the way up this Persian Gulf, and up in here in this land over here. He's going that way, and he's supposed to be going this way. Now, if that fish doesn't fly, he's going to have to swim all the way out here, go all the way down, all the way around the Horn of Africa, and all the way up into the Persian Gulf, and then up that river, so he can be spit out on the shores of Nineveh. That's thousands and thousands of miles. Now, this is fish. I don't know whether this fish flew or what happened, but that fish spit him out on the shores of Nineveh. Thousands of miles by sea, over 10,000 miles, I believe. And he ends up there. Now, Jonah is dead for 3 days. Now, however long that Leviathan swam so fast that he swam off his scales, probably. I mean, he's going like a bullet through the water, or else God sends him through the air, one or the other. I don't know. But he got there. We know that. That's a great miracle right there. It's more of a miracle than what you think about it. You think about him, well, he spit him up on the fish is over there, and he just goes over here and he spits him up on the ocean. But he's got to go through the Mediterranean, go out into the Atlantic, go all the way down into the Horn of Africa, come all the way back up into the Indian Ocean, and then into the Persian Gulf, and swim up the river. Tigris and Euphrates come together there, and he swam up the river. Did he swim up a river, or did God drop him there? Whatever it was 3 days later, and Jonah was dead for 3 days. Now, Jesus tells you Jonah's dead for 3 days. I went to church and I've heard preachers preach that Jonah was alive in the belly of the whale. No, he was not. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what the Bible says. Jonah was D-E-A-D, dead. And God resurrected him when he spit him out on the seashores of that great river at Nineveh. And by the way, one of the major gods that the Ninevites worshipped was Dog. Dog. You would say that. It's Hebrew word. And it's D-A-G. It means fish. It means a swimmer. So whatever this Leviathan was, or whatever, this great dog Leviathan, he took him and put him over there. But he's dead for 3 days and three nights now. And he's resurrected. He said, "Oh, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and a sign will not be given to you except the sign of Jonah." And he left them and went away. The sign of Jonah. Jonah was dead and buried and resurrected after 3 days. Jesus will be murdered on the cross of Calvary. And he will die. They will put his body in a grave, in a tomb, Joseph of Arimathea's tomb, basically, which was probably his uncle. They'll put him in that tomb, and then he will be raised. The Bible said that Jesus raised himself. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit raised him. The Bible said the Father raised him. The triune God raised Jesus. That's who raised Jesus. Jesus prophesied right here of his death, burial, and resurrection. And they went right along with his death. But they sure didn't want to see him resurrected. Remember, after Jesus was crucified, the Pharisees and Sadducees came to Pontius Pilate, and they begged for him to send them a guard to guard the tomb. Now, if you look in the movies and everything, you'll see these Roman guards out there guarding at the tomb. That's not what happened at all. Pontius Pilate told them, "Do the best with what you got. Take your Jewish Herodian soldiers and guard that tomb. I'll have nothing to do with you." Remember when Pontius Pilate condemned him to the cross, when they demanded him to be condemned to the cross, Pontius Pilate washed his hands and said, I'm innocent of this man's blood. They should have been all crucified for bringing false witnesses to the trial. Pontius Pilate had to walk outside the Praetorium to talk to that bunch of ilk, because they wouldn't walk in there because they might ceremonially pollute themselves. But they had already, the adulterous generation, the godless generation, the demonic generation had already polluted themselves with the blood of the Son of God. In the 7th chapter of the book of Acts, Stephen rehearsed before the Sanhedrin court the whole history of Israel. He said Abraham did this, and Abraham was called out, all this. He goes all the way down to the history. They were gone into Egypt. God, they were taken out of Egypt and out of slavery and put into the promised land, and God did that, and God moved against all the inhabitants of the land, and he gave them the land, and all of them are saying, yay, 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 you're right, you're right, you're right. And then he said, you crucified the God of glory. And they were so mad at him, they didn't wait to stone him. They rushed upon him and bit him with their teeth like dogs. That's what the Greek says. They bit him with their teeth. They kept on biting him with their teeth, with their own teeth, like dogs. And then he looked up, Stephen did, and said, behold, I see the Son of God standing at the right hand of God. And all the time they were gnawing and biting and killing and murdering this also prophet of God. Our Father, we send this message out for your honor and glory this day. Please use it to touch people's lives all over the world. Help to... What I want to do, Father, is to build people up in faith that they'll know what they believe and why they believe it. And I pray that you build them up in your faith to give them the strength that they need to meet all foes today, from atheism to quasi-Christianity, false religions, and keep them safe in your arms, in the truth. In Jesus' name I pray, and please forgive me where I failed you. Amen.